Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's most hated cousin on the channel, Chris Marler, Burn Dumbquist, author of The Dumbest Power Rankings This Side of the Mississippi. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. What was that intro song? Was it just like a drum and then some girl moaning? That was a lot.
That's my lady. That's my lady every night.
We need like a really kick-ass intro song. Marissa, get in here. Moan. Love it. Let's do this.
Yeah. How you been, man? You missed last week. You totally bailed on us. Tell us the story of that.
I was in Tuscaloosa for the Bama Auburn game.
Tuscaloosa, you mean?
Yeah, they are. Went there with a bunch of our friends, and then my.
You have friends?
Yeah, I got like four. Okay. One of them is black, so I got one of those. So it's good. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm allowed to say that, but we went to Tuscaloosa, whatever. Girlfriend, Auburn grad. She went, got into a fight with like a 13-year-old child. It was a blast. I lost my voice though after the game. It was so loud.
So it was a good week for her, or a good weekend for her, a bad weekend for you. That's probably par for the course.
Yeah. That's our whole relationship for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, we're gonna get into your latest edition of your horrible rankings.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, thoughts on just how well received your last ones were, which you were dunking on people in the comments. I feel like after this version, they're gonna be dunking right back at you.
So here's the thing. They're like, every time we do this, the whole point that me and Mike have made out of doing this is like, we're gonna do it on the fly. Let's have a good time. I don't think Mike necessarily signed up for that. I just told him, I was like, I'm gonna do it that way.
Right.
And also, like, they have to play 18 games. Like, they play there's three nights a week these teams are gonna play, and we see it over. Mizzou ran Bama out of the fucking gym the other day, and then turns right back around and loses. So it's like this. That's been the story of every team in the SEC this year. So y'all can be mad all you want. All I do know is that Texas fans better be real fucking quiet this week. And I don't care how that sounds, but you go into South Carolina last night and get your ass whooped. That was awesome. I'm fired up over that one.
Well, hey, before we get into your power rankings, let's give people time to filter in here. Have you heard the news that in football, they're considering blowing up the championship weekend? Mm-hmm. And this is apparently one of the plans that they... So obviously, we're going to a likely an expanded playoff.
This graphic game has gotten so much better for you.
What they're thinking about doing is... four automatic bids for the SEC, four automatic for the Big Ten. I think everybody's heard that by now. But this, I'm just trying to get the word out, Chris, because I think they're like trying to pass this without anybody's knowledge. Yeah. They're thinking of doing SEC. So this would be the SEC championship weekend, not just a game where we'd still have one versus two. And I just did it as how the teams finished last year in the standings to make it simplified. So one and two would be playing for seeding. They're both guaranteed in. And then possibly what they may do is 3 versus 6. The winner gets into the playoff. 4 versus 5. The winner gets into the playoff. And that would be your four SEC teams in the college football playoff. Thoughts on if they go this route?
So I was on air with Peter Burns and Doering on Sirius on Thursday. And PB brought this up. I had no idea what he was talking about. I had no clue that he was like, this is a real thing. I kind of love it. I kind of feel like, I mean, dude, at the very least, how awesome would that be? Like, how awesome would that be for that weekend of football? There's also another version they've been talking about. I think this is the one they're going to pass. But there's
this
also
one right here, 1 through 8?
Yeah. That's the other one. See, and I'll tell you right now why I don't think this will pass. Because and real quick, as I get ahead of myself, I kind of love this setup too, because it's like, man, you get four SEC games of that magnitude on the same day. I can't wait for ESPN to put all three of the four on at the same time. But like you have these four games on the same day or whatever it would be. The reason they're not going to pass this one is because that Texas Ole Miss game. They're not going to screw the team that had the best year and is a one seed and played 12 games into even getting into the playoff. That just won't happen. Now go back to the other one. The 1 versus 2, I love that for the conference champion, but it feels like there's so much more juice on the other games. Like, what's up, Cheese Louise? You're the best, man. The 3 versus 6, maybe it's just these matchups. Like the 3 versus 6 is cool. And then the 4 versus 5, it's odd because Ole Miss would still be out. They'd be on the outside looking in from last season, if you look at it that way. But yeah, man, like I'm in on this one. I'm in on this one. I think this would be really, really fun. And I will also tell you, despite my hat, despite your Twitter handle name, and despite the conference that we love and covered for like a decade now, Jesus, we're old. I think the SEC is screwing up the entire college football sport as a whole by doing this. I really do. I think it's such a greedy power play that if they're doing it because they want a fourth team in, and what they're going to give up to get the fourth team in is playing a ninth conference game. I just think it sucks. I think the whole thing sucks.
Cousin Tony says we're gonna have to buy more TVs, honey.
Again. Yeah, that's a good question too from Frank. Would they be playing in a neutral site or on campus? I believe it would be on campus, but also like
they haven't that decided. Would be a weird setup. They may do a triple header in Atlanta.
Like the Corky Kell kickoff classic?
I think I would hate that. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, how would you get teams in and out? You know, I don't think that's feasible.
You might like listen. They play the Corky Kell kickoff classic has been around since I was in high school, and that is like I think it's on 2 straight days, but it used to be like a single day, and it's like from like 11 a.m. to whatever time, and mm-hmm. But that's a high school thing, so you're not filling up the Georgia Dome or not right. Mercedes Benz like dude. Here's my question. This is how demented I am, I guess, or degenerate I am. My first question is, dude, how are you going to get all the drunk people out of there? Like, how are you going to wake up the drunks that have like passed out in the fucking bathroom and be like, hey, you got to get up. We got to go. Yeah. Texas is playing in an hour. Like what? Like,
ain't happening. It ain't happening, brother. One other thing I wanted to ask you real quick, cause I saw you get, you know, if you ain't following Marler on Twitter, you're doing yourself a disservice. He is constantly on it seems like a nervous breakdown, a tweet away from a nervous breakdown. And I don't recall if you were in on this or not, but I've seen a lot of people there. Alabama, this is how we know that the dynasty is over. It's like you guys are eating your own on the coach, on the quarterback,
the
Ty Simpson, this, that, and the other.
Suck.
So who is going to start at quarterback for Alabama? What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. One, I personally, I think it's going to be Keelan Russell.
The freshman right out the gate.
Yeah, it sets up for 20. It's very similar to 2020 in the way it's like, all right, you've got this one quarterback who's been he's a former 4-star recruit, former 5-star, some publications, whatever. But Mac Jones was there for a couple of years, waited, and then in comes Bryce Young, who at the time was the highest ranked recruit in the history of the program. He's the number one overall player, all that kind of stuff, and he sat for a year and then. You know, and Mac Jones played incredibly. I mean, like he broke Joe Burrow's record for completion percentage and QBR or whatever. Like he had a great season. Now you've got that similar situation with Ty Simpson, been there for 3 or 4 years, waited his turn. Seems like an ultimate team guy, but it hasn't left or anything like that. But you have Keelan Russell coming in, and here's the thing, man. Keelan Russell is the highest ranked recruit in the history of this program. Think about all the talent that has come into this program. Julio Jones, Andre Smith, Bryce Young, like the highest ranked recruit in the history of this program is Keelan Russell. I have a hard time thinking that in this day and age, and I could be totally wrong about this, in this day and age with the transfer portal and NIL and having to keep people like put and make them happy even if they're not playing, I have a hard time thinking he's not going to play.
He wasn't that high rated when he was committed to SMU. He got that Bama bump without playing a damn game.
This is the dumbest fucking. I hate that. Like it's like this the stuff that people say that like outside of Tuscaloosa to make themselves feel better about Alabama just being good is so funny to me. It like I he was a 3-star originally. I think he was a 4-star when he committed to Bama, but after he then went to camps and went to the Elite 11, won the Elite 11. And then, you know, he also plays in a high profile team in Mississippi. Real quick, I thought what you were going to bring up from the Bama fans being awful or like or it's signs that things are kind of like deteriorating is, did you see the On Three thing? They were like, hey, what freshman? We got some intel from like behind the scenes and coaches on staff. Like, what freshmen are standing out early in practice? And like, there's probably 5 to 8 teams, Mike, and 7 of the 8 that aren't Bama are like one guy. Like, oh, so-and-so's played pretty well. He's having a well. Whoever the coach was for Bama, it sounds like the most doing too much, lying to yourself, and like just like I've never been more convinced that there's no substance attached to the words. It's just buzzwords. He's like, oh my God, dude, we got everybody's a dog, dude. Everybody's a dog. We got so he listed off like 5 dudes. It was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you guys developed a ton of talent there last year. It was good besides Ryan Williams, so I'm sure we'll be fine.
Everybody's a winner at Bama. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. So Marler's, he thinks we're rolling out a true freshman at yep. Florida State in the opener, week 3, Wisconsin, game 4 at Georgia. Good luck, buddy. If he rolls out a true freshman, let's say they go 2-2 in the first 4.
Well, why would they go 2-2? Are they going to lose Monroe and Florida State? They're not going to lose to Georgia. They don't lose to Georgia.
His ass gets fired if they go 2-2. I give Florida State's a loss and at Georgia's a loss.
I think honestly, when you look at this, I think that the locks on the schedule, Georgia's a win because it always is. Like unless Bama plays Georgia a month before that and they get a rematch, and then a bunch of players you've heard that has proven to be the only way Georgia can beat Alabama in the last 16 years. I mean, like you may hate me saying it, or you may hate me in general, but like historically speaking, what has proven to be true every time they have played is that unless there's a rematch and unless it's the greatest defense in the history of college football, and unless 2 of Alabama's receivers go down with season-ending injuries, Georgia will not beat Alabama.
So. What about Auburn?
No, Auburn's a different story, brother. Much less Auburn team beating Alabama.
All right, so let's get into it. Your horrible rankings.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe, Chris, how many people associate me with your rankings. I'm just putting the graphic out. I mean, it's clearly marked your terrible rankings, not mine.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Which team are you wrong about first?
Yeah, we also don't have to say they're like terrible rankings all the time. That could just be an inside joke. So I'm gonna put LSU back down at number 16. They were there 2 weeks ago. They got a win in between now and then. Dude, last night they went on just a fever dream of a first half against Florida where they had, I think they went on a 22-2 run. But I have them at 16. They are just a bad team. It's interesting though, because they've like doubled down. They're going to give Matt McMahon another shot next year and give him some NIL money too.
What is it like? You're covering like 6 SEC teams right now with your current jobs, and yet we're having a historically great basketball season, and 2 of the ones you primarily cover are arguably the shittiest.
Yeah, no one cares. It's been so much fun because this is a historic season in the SEC. This sunlight's going to come in real bad, by the way. It's been like a historic season in the SEC where like we really haven't seen another conference ever do anything like this from top to bottom. It's so, so impressive. And yeah, I mean, I've tried to make it a thing with LouisianaSports.net and LSU and talk about it because I just think it's so crazy just how deep it's not just like, oh, hey, there's a bunch of good teams. Like 2014 football season comes to mind where it's like, oh yeah, we got like some really, really good teams top to bottom in the league. But like you're talking about 3 potential 1 seeds, 13 potential tournament teams. I mean, Arkansas is like on the thinnest ice imaginable. They're one of the most talented rosters in the conference. So, but no one cares. No one cares. South Carolina might be able to get a little bit of a run after the win last night, but no one cares. It's tough.
Well, speaking of Carolina, is that your number 15 or they just won a big game?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, shout out to Jordan Butler. There's no one that enjoyed that win more. I don't know if you know the story, Mike. This is a pretty crazy story. Jordan Butler, he's a 7-foot sophomore forward at South Carolina. He transferred from South Carolina to like from Mizzou. Now, Mizzou, you might remember. I don't. So I always forget them. So, but Mizzou went 0-18 last year in the SEC. Carolina was 0-13. Now, I don't know Jordan as a person. I'm very happy that he got off the schneid, but like, do not let this kid transfer to one of your schools if you love your team. Like, he's now 1-31 in the last years, but Jordan Butler, huge, huge win for that kid last night. I got South Carolina. It was fun watching them. I mean, they dominated Texas. It was awesome.
Where are you at with the coach? Should he be fired? Or, I mean, is it just the SEC so daunting? What's his name? Paris? I mean, I'm not saying he's doing a great job, but it's almost like, how do you grade the guy? Because they've been competitive for a lot of these damn games.
Well, I always forget that you just now started watching basketball this year. He was the SEC coach of the year last year. So, no,
fire
I don't think
him. He's be a fire his ass. No, I've seen that from fans though. I've seen some fans are like, we got to get rid of this damn guy.
Yeah.
Is that just crazy
they don't
fandom?
Like the French. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Who's where are we going? Number 14.
Let's see here. I will say it's Georgia, and I hate to say it because I was really high on Georgia. I thought they played really well. I thought they played really well against Auburn. Here's the thing though that I can't get past. I was at the forefront of this whole, like, I was like, I think in the article I wrote for after they won, I was like, rank these people, you cowards. Like, what are we doing? Like, they should be ranked. Then they get ranked for the first time since, like, what, 2011 or something crazy. They've lost 9 of 11. They've lost 9 of their last 11 games. Now, they've been frustratingly competitive in all those games, or most of those games. But they just, like, you got to start getting more dubs, man. You just got to start getting more wins. So they're sitting there at 4-10. And like I said, you've lost. You started out 2-2, so it's just very tough.
Brodo Baggett says, Coach Lamont must have stole some signs, like old Shane Beamer. How about that?
Coach Lamont must have stole signs. Is that a real thing that y'all believe? Tennessee fans believe that?
Shane's going to his grave saying South Carolina cheated that day.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. They ran out of fireworks on your ass. They ran out of fireworks from celebrating.
Let's not talk about that. It's speaking of Georgia. What thought? I didn't get your thoughts on Carson Beck getting his Lamborghini and other car stolen.
Bro, I'm 38. I think I've owned 3 cars in my whole life. He was. They were like, all 3 of his cars were broken into. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's unbelievable.
What are the odds? It was Georgia fans.
Here's the thing. It had to be refreshing to have like a Georgia player and a car situation not be something this negative. You just know, like, piecing that sentence together, Georgia fans are reading it, like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Like, if you would have woken up just some random person named like Daryl in like Conyers, like, hey dude, Georgia player, car, it's in the news. Like, fuck, what happened? So this had to be forgotten.
All right, number 13, who you got?
Let's go Oklahoma. Actually, let's go Texas at 13.
Yeah.
Texas 13. Texas sucks. We all know it. Their fans are the worst. I love a few of their fans. But overall, I think last week's
few though, right?
What's that?
Very few though, right?
Yeah. It's just such a weird, like, you have to, like they are just in this weird thing where it's like, yeah, we come in, we own the SEC. And then, like, so they don't really want to give any sort of, like, props to how good the conference is because we're good at football with the easiest schedule in the conference. But then they also are begging you to, like, look at them and be like, no, we are blue blood. We belong. Like, you've won one national title in 57 years. Like, one. And like you literally sit on the most recruiting fertile, like, or the fertile recruiting ground in the country. You can't get him into your campus like for decades. Then you couldn't put him into the league for decades. It's just the weirdest. It's just like they should be good at everything, and the only thing they're best at is being insecure. It's crazy.
You know, it sounds like you have a lot in common with them.
Yeah, I'm super insecure. Everyone is. That's about my body. It's like.
All right, top 12. Who is number 12?
All right, let's put Oklahoma at 12. Now, big win for them yesterday. They beat Mississippi State. Cost me a little bit of money there, but I still think they are tied with Georgia. They're both 4-10 in the conference. Remember, Oklahoma was like a top 15 team going into conference play. They had a win over Arizona earlier in the year. Like they had some good I don't know, vibes and like they were trending in the right direction going into the season, but they have just been bad, like 4-10. But also, like I said, yesterday, home game, it was good to see the fans show up for that game. Good win yesterday.
But do you take any issue with the lack of fan support? I know that's something even old Dari Noka, I thought he was a big
Yeah.
Sooner homer, which he clearly is. He was calling out the fans, and the fans have fought back, said, "Well, God, we're awful. We're not feeling a
Yeah.
competitive team." I see both sides of it. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there's just so much to do in Oklahoma. You know what I mean? So it's like, why? Like, listen, it's about to be tornado season, so we want to definitely go check that out. There's multiple tiger rescue zoos, as we saw in that Netflix documentary that really bandaged the country together. But, dude, like, this country was holding on by duct tape and Tiger King, like for several months there in 2020.
And don't forget softball. They're a damn dynasty. That's just started.
Yeah, no, they are really good at softball. So I'm not mad at him. I think the issue becomes like Porter Moser, I think is a good coach. I don't know what you're gonna do. Like it's there's just like this is I always say this to Mississippi State in football. Like there's just some like Oklahoma's not traditionally some great basketball school. They've had three really good players. They had Blake Griffin, they had Trae Young, and they had Buddy Hield. They've had some good seasons, but they're not like year in and year out knocking down the door to make a bunch of Final Fours. They've made one. So I don't know how you compete in a league this deep with a sport that your fan base is not going to care about. Like boosters are not going to be inclined to send money as much money to basketball, especially when you have so much to work on with football. So it's just, well, yeah, gymnastics are really good.
Yeah, that's news to me. All right, who's number
Yeah.
11 then?
I don't know who you think should be number 11. Where are we at here? I Arkansas,
You're
like
probably gonna put Mizzou down there.
No, well, they deserve it after last night, brother. Fucking Caleb Grill. I think that I would probably have. Don't they, no, I'm gonna put Arkansas down there. They. It's like we're all waiting for Arkansas to like go on a run because that's what Calipari teams do late in February and early March. And dude, they are really good. They should have beaten Auburn probably. Like
Yeah.
Ivicevic or Vicic, whatever his name is. A lot of
0 for 11,
whatever's
right?
that. You know, Mike, you brought up the insecurity thing earlier, and I'll just tell you this. If I had the confidence to shoot an 11th 3-pointer after missing the first 10th, I don't know. Well, it's me. It was
that's
the
what he's
Suns, Shane.
saying. That's what he's saying.
No, I think like the confidence he had to have to put up that last shot is just fucking unbelievable. I think Arkansas is DJ Wagner's playing like the best basketball I think of his career in college. I will tell you that I think like they have the talent. Thero is really good. They've got three big guys. Like last night, man, last night they had all five of their starters scoring double digits. Like that's what they're gonna need to do. But Calipari is not like waxing poetic when he says, "Hey, everything here from here on out is a tournament game." Like they have got to figure out. It's so fucking bright. This is Mike's fault. We were supposed to record in the morning. I asked to record last night, and Mike was like, "No, I'm hungover." Blah, 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 blah. Dollar Tree Chet is really good, Frank. That's really good. But yeah, so it's. I think that they're still good enough to go on a run, but just from like you have to take into account the entire resume, and so that I have an 11.
So, prediction, does Arkansas make the NCAA tournament?
Yes, I think they will. Like last night was big to do that. I think they're gonna have to win one in the tournament in the SEC tournament in Nashville, but I think they're gonna make it.
Yeah. And then, real quick, here's their last. They got Texas at South Carolina, at
Texas.
Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. I mean, those are all winnable games. I'm not saying they're
Yeah.
going to win them all, but they're all winnable.
Them and Mississippi State had the easiest route to close the season and Mizzou to close the season with a bunch of wins because of the balance of getting. That's such a good reference.
Right, top 10.
Harvey Dent. Ah, where is it?
Who's top 10? Come on.
Seven people to get that inside joke. That's fantastic. Vanderbilt at 10. Good win yesterday against Ole Miss. And maybe it makes more sense to have Ole Miss in there. I don't know. But yeah, Vandy's there. Like, here's the thing. Vandy's been like, what a fun year for their students to watch like football and then obviously basketball. They're the ones that started the trend of like, hey guys, please, please, for the love of God, stop rushing the court, because I'm never going to financially recover from this. So I think that Vanderbilt is they're a good team. Yesterday they were in the line for the last four in from Joe Lunardi. That'll obviously move up now, the home win over Ole Miss. The issue I have with Vanderbilt is it feels pretty obvious that they are only really good. They're at not even at their best, but they're only good when they're at home.
Right.
You're not going to play a home game. So that's, you know.
Well, they've got a couple. They've got at A&M, which is a little bit fading. No, playing really good teams. But and then Missouri, Arkansas, both at home, and then at Georgia. So, again, some winnable games there. Do you think Vanderbilt makes the NCAA tournament?
You know those pictures of babies where they're, like, naked and they force their hands like this? That's what I feel like the lighting in this room is right now.
Have you heard of blinds? That's a new invention we have.
It's like a little semicircle thing that's like, there's blinds everywhere else except for that top semicircle.
Okay. Maybe don't sit next to the semicircle.
There's nowhere to sit in this room. Vanderbilt, I could have got anywhere else in the house. Vanderbilt is, I think that they will make the tournament. I think that win yesterday was big. Hey, by the way, everyone fuck off about the curtains because the internet is working and no one said a thing about how good the internet is today. I'm recording this on my computer for the first time in like 2 years.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we get into the top nine here, Chris, I want to tell our friends, we're going to have to get you some of this to maybe, so you can be more productive, so you could fix things in your life. Some cornbread hemp. Have you heard of this? Chris, cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. Get you 30% off your entire order over at Cornbread Hemp. And what is this cornbread, you may be asking?
Yeah.
It's THC and CBD gummies. Come on. I think Chris is on them when he's making his damn list over at Cornbread Hemp. Again, this is third-party, lab-tested, USDA organic, and safe to use. I love the CBD sleep gummies, the THC ones. Those are Shane's favorite. He's on the damn moon right now. So
head
on.
Josh Heibel.
Exactly. Best. See, you're contributing here. Cornbreadhemp.com/SEC. Don't forget SEC at the checkout to get you 30% off your entire order over at Cornbread Hemp. Okay, Chris. Shane says, damn, high as a damn guy down
here. Last time you flew a kite. People are flying kites anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while.
It's like people being named like Jerry with a G. Like you don't see a lot of that happening nowadays, which is good. Yeah. I think it's good for society.
I knew a guy named Jeff, but it was with a G. We used to call him G off.
the two names in the English language that piss me off more than anything is Jeff with a G and Greg with three G's. Like fuck. Like what? That's absurd. That's absurd. Okay.
Number nine.
We're at number nine. I will go. I gotta go Ole Miss. I want to put Mississippi State there, kind of, but here's the thing: Ole Miss 0-2 against Mississippi State this year, and I got Mississippi. I'll put Ole Miss there. A good team. They really don't have a bad loss. Like I mean, like Vandy could that you could be a bad loss there. I don't know, but not really because you've seen multiple top 10 teams lose at Vandy as well. But right. They're a solid team. It's just weird because it's like I don't. It feels very much like the ceiling is close to the floor with them, where it's like probably a 4 or 5 seed in the tournament. Maybe make the second weekend. Maybe they'll definitely make the second round. But yeah, I don't know. I got Ole Miss there at nine.
Mm, yeah, they're choking to say the least. All right, number eight.
Yeah, I'm gonna put Mississippi State there and I feel well. No, I don't feel bad about that because they could beat Bama on Saturday, or on Tuesday. I'm sorry. A really good team. I don't know if you saw the game yesterday. It's very odd that they call Chris Jans the dentist because no one likes going to see the dentist. and then an Oklahoma player got his teeth knocked out, which is unbelievable. So that was
I saw you tweeting about that.
That was horrific. Like, how come when something bad like that happens, people are like, "Hey." Not sure if you saw this, but here's the most gruesome fucking thing imaginable. I'm going to slow it down for you and then zoom in on it. So, I got
shout out. He came back in the game, was making shots afterwards.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that? He came back in.
No. I don't actually watch the games, Mike. What are you talking about? Like, what? This is the best show we've done. Okay. So I got them there. I still think that Mississippi State is a team. They're like Texas A&M light, where like they play really good defensively. And Josh Hubbard, if Josh Hubbard is going, there's not a lot of teams that can beat him. Like Sven Kreuzberg, real name? Okay, so he said –
yeah, Cousin Sven.
Cousin Sven. He said like they're not going to be Bama. But, like, we saw last time when Hubbard put up, like, 38 against Bama. Now, that was at home versus on the road. But – and here's the other thing, too. Yesterday's a weird day, Mike, because, like, I've told you this over and over again. It's been one of those fascinating, like, numbers to look up. Like, the difficulty of winning on the road in the SEC this year. Going into Saturday, I think the record was – hold on. I got my handy notebook here. 186-45. That's an 80.2% winning percentage at home. Fuck you, Shane.
Cousin Shane from the Top Rope, host of that SEC podcast, or watch the sunset, Marler. I want both.
Don't stare into the eclipse. It's me and Trump. So no, keep it going, Shane. That's good. That's good.
Did you have any issue with them storming the court when they were favored to beat A&M?
Who?
Mississippi State. They were favored to beat A&M last week. They beat them. They stormed the court. Again, their fans are and they're very soft that I just pointed that out. I didn't even say it was wrong. I just said they were favored in this game.
People are very sensitive on the internet in general. But, yeah, I mean, like, it cracks me up when something like that happens, Mike, because it's like, hey, did you see this? And it's like, it's really sunny outside. And someone's like, oh, you fucking hate clouds? Fuck you, dude. Like, I didn't say that. I just said that it's sunny out. Like, I don't know. Why are you so mad?
Right.
All right. Anyway, so let's move on from Mississippi State because I don't want to talk about them anymore. Seven.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with Kentucky at seven.
Oh, and buddy.
Is that too low? That feels low. Is that too low?
I don't know. I mean, this is a deep league.
No, I got Kentucky.
I think that's about
seven.
Right. I think that's about right.
Kentucky basketball fans, and Kentucky fans in general, maybe, I don't know. I didn't know this was a trend until the past couple of years, but other teams got good. Yeah. I think that they just got they have been so dominant for so long as the only good team that they're just astonished when they lose. So their first reaction is we have to get rid of John Calipari. This is insane.
Well,
and then
he was sucking for a good while.
Sure, okay. And I tell you what, they better fucking make the Sweet 16 then. They better make the Sweet 16.
But I mean, hell, they just lost to Texas. You're right. I mean, that was a bad loss.
On the road, and it wasn't super. I mean, it was competitive to a like it was a 4.5 point spread, and I think they lost by what was it? It was more than that. I know that. And then the Bama game last night, like you open up a 20-8 run, like you go out and start hot, and they have been good at times, but like losing at home to Arkansas, like what's their best win?
How nervous were you? Well, they whooped Tennessee's ass twice, right? How nervous were you when they jumped on at Alabama?
I wasn't at all because I wasn't allowed to be since ESPN fucking sucks. And I'm sitting here trying to watch the first part of the game, waiting all day for a top 20 matchup. And they're like, oh, we're going to be on ESPN News until
you don't have ESPN
weekend.
News?
I don't know where ESPN News is. I had to watch it on one of my three ESPN accounts that I can't figure out why I'm paying for still.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that kind of money. You know how, remember when they started doing the spring games on ESPN?
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to watch it there.
I get that.
You
got to
watch it there.
All right, who's number six?
I know who Chris Hansen is. I just don't understand why I got brought up.
He catches predators, so.
Okay. Number six. This pains me, but I think I'm going to say A&M.
Oh, you were all about them last time.
I still think they can be really good, but they have just been – they've been so bad from three the past couple of games. They have not shot it well. Wade Taylor has been kind of like a shell of what we saw earlier in the season of himself. I don't know. I don't know. He's just been kind of down. I will say they still have the talent to be a two or three seed. I don't think they're going to get a one seed now, obviously, and that was like maybe a pipe dream in the first place. But that's where I would have them. I think six is probably fair because this is just saying like they're a really really good team, but there's so many teams in this league that are good that you have to put those teams ahead of, oh, well, they're good if this happens, or they're good when this happens, and that's kind of where A&M is over the last week or so.
And the remaining schedule, Vanderbilt at home, they should beat that team, but then they're at Florida, and then they're Auburn after that. So they have played their way out of a top four seed in the SEC tournament. They could still get there, but it's looking unlikely now, which, you know, how big of a disadvantage do you think that could be in Nashville here in a couple weeks?
I see Nashville's just such a crapshoot the way it works anyway. I don't know if it's a disadvantage necessarily. So
okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's why you're on here, you damn basketball analyst. All right, number five. Top five here. Don't you say Vols, you bastard.
five. Alabama.
Ooh. Roll tears, huh? Man, so I thought they were number one in the country. That's what you were saying going into last week.
When did I? They have never been number one in the rankings.
You said like, you said they were the best roster, best coach.
They
yada,
are the
yada,
best
yada.
Roster. They are. This is something fans are going to have to fucking figure out at some point too. Like very rarely in the history of the sport is it like this idea of like I see this with Georgia fans specifically saying about Bama fans. It's like, oh, they had the highest ranked composite team ranking of all time. Like, okay, you mean to tell me like the same people that are like recruiting rankings don't matter? This like they're only getting good players because they're playing in Alabama. They're not really that good. They're getting the Bama bump. And then it's like when they lose, it turns into I don't think I'm even make a good point right now. But I'm gonna workshop this and come back at a later date to make it. Bama is five. Bama has the ability to be the best team in the country. Like that's not up for debate. They have more talent than everyone else. Nate Oates has struggled figuring out the right combination of players. You saw him switch up the lineup again this week, going with LeBaron Filon instead of Jaren Stevenson in as a starting five. I like that lineup better. Mark Sears, back-to-back 30-point game, so that's good. But, like, dude, you scored 35 and you lost by too high time. You lost by 12 to Missouri. Like they don't play defensively well. But here's the other thing too, Mike, and I'm not making an excuse for Bama when I say this. I'm not. It's weird to watch some of these games with Bama because like they started out against Auburn down 9-0. They started out against Missouri down 12-2. They started out against Kentucky down 20-8. And some of that is being like having a slow start offensively. But the other side of it too, it's like every fucking game I look up and it's like whoever they're playing is shooting like 65% from three. It's crazy. It's just crazy. So I still think like
maybe they should play some defense in Tuscaloosa. How about that? Have they considered
well,
that?
Well, ever since Kirby left, they ain't got no one to do it. That's all. Reason they were ever good, brother. All right. So here's the thing: the Bama is interesting because you kind of have to temper your expectations as well as like the realistic like assessment of how good they are, because they're going to be playing the toughest schedule of anybody in the country the rest of the way. Like they have Auburn, they have on the road, they have Tennessee on the road, they still have Florida at home next Saturday, they get Mississippi State who's ranked at home. So they, I mean, theoretically they could go 1-4, 1-5 to close up the season. And I will still maintain they're still one of the best rosters in the country, but like they need to win some of those games.
Yeah, here's Bama's remaining schedule: Mississippi State, number 21. That is a home game though.
Yeah.
At number 6 Tennessee, number 2 Florida comes to Alabama, and then at number 1. So they're probably not going to win a game the rest of the way.
ever again. They don't deserve to.
All right, top 4, Chris.
Top 4. Number 4 Tennessee. No, yeah, Tennessee.
What?
Yeah, I'm gonna suck.
Did Missouri just lose? Isn't Tennessee red hot?
They're red hot. They won two games in a row.
Red hot, whoa. Right there.
Hey, what's going on?
He just figured out how to work his thing.
There. Yeah, I'm gonna hop off. I just thought I'd get on here and get a tan real quick.
How did you hop in? Yeah, you're bright as hell too. All right, well, see you later. I'm going to put Tennessee at four. I think that they're a good team. Yesterday was a really impressive win. However, if we're being honest, I don't feel like that Chaz Lanier is going to hit eight threes every game.
You think he can hit nine? All right. I like that analysis.
That was good. I think that they're all really, really good. Like, they're a really good team. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we've seen them struggle. Obviously, the Kentucky situation is not – that's swept by them in the regular season. I think they're going to beat Bama. They've beaten Mizzou as well. So, like, but those games are at home. This team continues to be kind of a – not a crapshoot because they're starting to, like, get their identity a little bit more. But, like, listen, you lost by 30 at Florida. You lost at Vanderbilt. You lost at Auburn. You lost against Kentucky. Now, almost all those games has the Vandy, Kentucky – and Auburn game were three losses, and they were by a combined 8 points. So, like they are still a really good team. The question I have for Tennessee, and this is the concern I have going into the tournament, right? Offensively, are they going to be good enough to beat the teams in front of them? Because at some point, like, what makes it so difficult to win a national championship in basketball is, like, you don't get to play Vanderbilt. You don't get to play Mississippi State. Like, you got to go play fucking – I don't know who's good in the country besides Duke. And then in years past, I'd say UNC and Kansas, but those two kind of suck this year. So, like, they are the best defensive team in the country, and that seems to be a staple of Rick Barnes every year. Can they do that and get, like, offensively, can they score enough points to win those games? I don't know if they can.
Right. And but that being said, if they are on, they're making their shots. I mean, hell, you're right. They just nailed, I think it was 13 threes.
13 threes.
I guess A&M, one of the best defensive teams in the country. And then there's other games like Kentucky. The coach came out and said, well, we were going to let them shoot. And Tennessee
Florida
couldn't beat them.
They went like 1 of 27.
So
1 of 27 against Florida. They went 13-27 against A&M.
But my point is, if they're hitting their shots, I mean, I think this team's good enough to beat anybody. Is that fair?
Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we can end the show there. Number three.
Number three, since we are recording a podcast, and I told you we were recording a podcast, and I will have to call you back after the podcast. Say hey to Allie.
Hey.
Hey. All right. So number three, Mizzou.
Put Auburn. Auburn there for her.
Three is Mizzou, and I think they're a really good team, man. I think the thing with Mizzou, it's like I'm trying to compare it to a football team in the SEC that would make sense over the past couple of years. It might be Mizzou from 2023. It's like back off, Louise. I think the thing with them is, for whatever reason, like we've seen Kentucky lose multiple times over and over and over again. It seems like. In a lot of situations this season, right? The Arkansas loss, Bama twice, on the road to Vandy. They're just locked in as a three seed. Mizzou, like, I don't know what else Mizzou has to do to be higher than the five seed line in the tournament, but people just keep sleeping on them. Now, I know they had a tough loss last night. Caleb Grill was off. Obviously, I wish he would have done that on Wednesday, but it happened on Saturday instead. But they are still a really, really good team. And they're like, they're sneaky tough inside. Like, they're really tough inside. So I would have them at three.
And they didn't have their big man, right, in that game?
I don't know.
Right here, Miss Josh Bray. I mean, have they had this? Maybe it's a different story.
Yeah, maybe. And I think the big thing, too, is, like, you're coming off a game where you see everything goes right. Like, I tweeted this out during the Bama-Mizzou game, and it was like, I don't think they can shoot 67% from three all night, and they shot like 61. They shot like 42, but they shot 61% of the night. Now, here's the other thing about that Bama game that people need to give Missouri even more credit for is, like, that's not one of those situations like we saw with Florida and Tennessee earlier this year where it's like, all right, one team came out on fire and the other team couldn't hit the fucking ocean, right? It's like one team is just like lights out, can't miss, blah, blah, blah. The other team wasn't like that. Alabama was like, I think they were 43% or 41% from three. They shot the ball. They had a higher field goal percentage, I think, at the end of the night, or like just like right. Maybe it was like 0.4 less than the Mizzou. Like, Bama shot the ball about as well as they had all season, especially from beyond the arc against Mizzou. And Mizzou still put up 110 points against them. I don't know if that's something they can replicate. I know that it's not something they can replicate because their previous high since they've been in the SEC was 98 points. But you see the difference what that looks like if Caleb Grill's not on from three and they're missing a guy like Josh Gray.
Yeah. All right, so top two, I think it's pretty obvious, but what order you got them in?
I'm going to put Florida at two. No, yeah, Florida at two, and then I'll put Auburn at one.
Chris, Florida beat Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Florida one last time? Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Put Florida at one. It doesn't matter. People are going to hate me anyway.
I mean, Florida's red hot, brother.
Florida just doesn't lose. Like they just don't lose. Right? Or do they lose?
Of course, Auburn's pretty red hot too. They're like,
it is.
They won damn near every game.
Let's have an honest conversation. And I'm very hesitant. Shut the fuck up, Jeez Louise. I definitely need homework. There's so many games. It's not like football where it's like, hey, we're all going to play in this day. Like, we're all going to play. I got a life to live. Florida.
No, he doesn't.
Last loss was 20 at Tennessee. Since then, they have won six in a row. Here's the thing about Florida, too. They win by double digits more than any other team. Like, They haven't just beat people, like they've beaten them into submission. And I told you, Walter Clayton is like the most fun. He's the most fun player in the league to watch. Now, here's the thing. I feel like I'm contradicting myself by not putting Florida ahead of Auburn because Florida beat Auburn and they beat them by 10 or more or whatever it was on the road by 9 at Neville Arena, which is very difficult to do. Okay, thanks, Randy.
He used the wrong humor.
Yeah, I hope that was on purpose. But here's the thing. I think that people need to understand this. So final answer. Florida's going at two, Auburn's going at one, and here's why, Mike.
Okay.
People, we have a tendency to get like swept up in the moment or be a prisoner in the moment or any of those things. I can't believe this isn't being talked about enough because if it was Duke or UNC or Kansas, this would have been a fucking storyline since February started. Like, this would have absolutely been on talked about ad nauseum from people like Dickie V, everyone like Jay Billis, like everyone else in college.
Let's give Dickie V a break. He don't need to say anything.
That was awful. That was fucking terrible.
I like him, but let's bring him back slowly.
I don't know what ESPN is, why they're so hell-bent on abusing the elderly on their shows. They're going to get fucking Joe Biden to come on and host one of the game days here at some point. It's going to be tough. So here's the thing. This Auburn team, with their resume, this is not an exaggeration. Historically speaking, it's one of the best teams of all time. Like what they're doing is on par with some of the best teams in the history of college basketball. Randy Rowan, 14 quad one wins. Oh, that's the guy who called me stupid earlier? Okay. Yeah, 14 quad one wins. I don't think it's 14. But
here, I think it is.
Quick. Is it? Did they update it? Because it was only 12 last week. Because I thought it jumped to 13. Here, I'm pulling it up right now. So give me 2 seconds. The 14 quad one wins, 14-2. You're right. The reason why that's so impressive is not just because it's 14 quad one wins. I brought this up a couple weeks ago. Now you look below them, the teams with the most quad one wins behind them. The record, by the way, all time is 17. The record. They are on the doorstep of that. They're 19-2 in quad one and quad two games combined. It's not the fact that they have 14 quad one wins, Mike. It's the fact that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams behind them have 8 or 9. Which what that means is not only does Auburn have the most of any team in the country, they have more than double 358 of the remaining 364 teams in the country. That's insane. That is insane. They are and here's the thing too. They have this side of them, the whole call God thing. I think that no part of me believes that's rooted in Christianity, which is like it's like lank. It's like the same thing, basically. Like, it's trash talk, and it's awesome. It's awesome. They have this side of them that I don't know if their fans even realize. They love being the villain. Like Jani Broom came out against Alabama, and like before the game, he was like he was making it a point to like get involved with some of like the fans and just kind of doing shit to like not be showy, but just like taking in the moment. And then he comes out, hits his first. He had 8 points the first 3 minutes. Like Jani Broom, he loves in that moment. Chad Baker Mazzara loves being in that moment. Like you know, Pettiford, Denver Jones, Chaney Johnson's been awesome. Like those, I know I didn't write down any notes, guys, and I don't ever do my homework. But Auburn is, they are on a pace where like if they win at all, like I don't know if people will talk about it as like one of the greatest teams of all time. But I guarantee you, if they had a Duke logo anywhere on that jersey, that's exactly how we would talk about this team.
Yeah, and clearly you mentioned him already, Broom, but I think there's no doubt he's the best player in the conference. And I mean, there's only one other guy that they even consider to possibly win National Player of the Year if it's not him, right? So
that's so fucking stupid. Like, I don't – like, it's not even close. I'm trying to think of, like, it's almost like if, imagine the year Derrick Henry had as a running back, or like Leonard Fournette even that year, like where it's like, and then you were comparing that season in that league at that position, especially where it's like, yeah, it's tough to get yards as a running back, and like look at what they were able to do, and then being like, well, but wait, what about that quarterback out at fucking, like, you know, it'd be like some West Coast team that like
Boise.
In a league that plays that plays no defense, and like, I mean, like the ACC is terrible, like they're terrible at basketball. And Cooper Flagg, like every week, it's like it honestly reminds me of like the 90s again with football, because it'd be like, oh, let's go see who like what did Danny Cannell do this weekend? It's like, oh, he put up 58 points against Wake Forest. Woo-hoo! Like that's kind of the same thing, because like Jani Broom's doing it against the best league in the country, against the best town in the country. And Cooper Flagg is like, I'm not gonna get into why people are so enamored with him, but he fits very cookie cutter profile that people love to love in college basketball. He is lanky Tim Tebow type stuff.
Yeah, and there's just no nights off either in the SEC. We just saw that Auburn got pushed to the limit. I know Arkansas is a improving team, but they got pushed to the limit by Arkansas at home. Even, you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's what this conference is. So real quick, let's run it down. Marlar's power rankings again. Auburn 1, Florida 2, Mizzou, get the hell out of here, 3, Tennessee 4, Auburn 5, Alabama 5, Texas A&M 6, Kentucky 7, Mississippi State 8, Ole Miss 9, Vanderbilt 10, Arkansas 11, Oklahoma 12, Texas 13, Georgia 14, South Carolina 15, and LSU 16. Mm-hmm. There's your updated power rankings. Flammable way in the comments. One last thing for you, Chris. How many one seeds in the NCAA tournament you think the SEC will get?
I think they're going to get 3.
Ooh.
Because I don't know I don't know who else would be deserving. But like, I could make the case that I think out of the 3 between Tennessee, like there's 4 teams that we compete for it. It's Bama, Auburn. Auburn's a lock for one. Bama, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee.
Those Florida's probably a lock too, don't you think?
Maybe. I mean, probably so. I mean, they are really good. But the question then becomes, it's like Duke is the other one. They're going to get a one seed, it seems like, because like they should win the ACC easily in the tournament. But, like, I don't know who else from around the country you're putting in there. Like, I mean, St. John's is too low. They're like a 10. Houston had a good win yesterday, but it was against an Iowa State team that's missing 2 of their best players. Like, it just, you know, I don't know who else would get it. Maybe Houston. Maybe Houston's the one that would make the most sense to, like, it's not about whether a third team would be deserving. It's like, who would be good enough to bump them off the line?
And remember, again, it goes with Alabama's schedule. Last 3 games.
Right.
I get number 6 Tennessee, number 2 Florida, and at Auburn, number 1. So I think Alabama, I don't want to say they're in the driver's seat to get it, because that's such a damn gauntlet, but they're in.
That's what I'm saying.
They control their destiny to get that one seed. If let's say they have a winning record against Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn, they got to be a one seed, right?
You know what sucks, Mike, is like, dude, if they win those three games, like, you have to be feeling so great. And now you got to go play the SEC tournament. And then you got to play the NCAA tournament. Like, I think Mike Andrews made the best point of anyone on the show. It's a Duke being a one seed is like Notre Dame skating in the club. It's exactly like that. All right, I got to go. I got to pee.
Okay, hey, before you go, tell people how to follow you. Not that they want to, or how to find your work.
All right, my address is 337. No, I'm kidding. it is Vern Dumquist on Twitter, Vern Funquist CFB on Instagram, something like that. I do a lot of graphics. Then writing every day over there at LouisianaSports.net and Locked On Gamecocks covering South Carolina as well.
It's good to keep that them all different and inconsistent. Yeah. It makes them really easy to find.
I hate you so much.
All right, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, bud.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.